This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina al-Mab'uthi rahmatan lil Alameen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي أَمَّا بَعْدُ All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, once again, it's good to resume the Thursday night lessons here at TUMA talking about the greatest man to ever tread this earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshaAllah, we will continue with the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, hoping that every single one of you had a good Eid and enjoyed their Eid last week, even though it's been a different Eid this year. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your worship sacrifice on the day of Eid. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness in moving forward and staying on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right path of Islam, the path of the Quran and the Sunnah. And as part of reviving the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is to understand the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam better. To have a better understanding of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's what one of the primary purposes of why we are holding these lessons every single Thursday night, talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is to empower ourselves with the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, educate ourselves with the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and to make sure that Alhamdulillah, we have a better understanding of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to live like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to act like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, to live with what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam lived by sallallahu alayhi wasalam, to die on what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam had died on, and inshaAllah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, by the will of Allah azza wa jal, will be resurrected with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Last that we spoke about, we were talking about the revelation upon the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we spoke about how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the cave of Hira, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 40 years old. And we spoke about the event. And it is a great event that marks the beginning of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that event took place 1,455 years ago. 55 years ago, because we are in 1,441 years after the Hijrah. So 1,455 years ago, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it took place in the cave of Hira. And we spoke about the reason why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose that cave for him to go and seclude himself, until that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we mentioned how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to his house, back to his home, to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, at a time and a moment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not usually return back at. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha embraced the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and comforted him. And we spoke about that. Then she took him to Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And we left at Waraqah ibn Nawfal, where Waraqah ibn Nawfal told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I wish if I'm a young man that will stand by your side when your people turn against you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, would my people turn against me when I'm calling them to Allah, saving them from the hellfire? So Waraqah ibn Nawfal replied back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying, no one had ever came with what he came with, and his own people didn't turn against him. Subhanallah, it's natural. You call to Allah, people will turn against you. You follow the path of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, people will turn against you. And I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, as devout Muslims, experience that from time to time, where people look at you in a different way, speak to you in a different way, treat you in a different way. Why? Because you're a Muslim. Why? Because you follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because you are acting like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself experienced that. I wish if I'm a young man that will stand by you, O Muhammad, when your own people turn against you. That's what Waraqah ibn Nawfal told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, why would my people turn against me when I'm only calling them to good? So Waraqah ibn Nawfal said, no one had ever came with the way he came with, and his own people didn't turn against him. Subhanallah. Something for us to learn. You know, this This event of Waraqah ibn Nawfal told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam inspires me so much. Subhanallah, it just enlightens us that the path of da'wah and adhering and devoting yourself to the teachings of Islam will bring upon you challenges. You can't just run away from them. How many brothers stop praying because of this? Because they feel the pressure. How many brothers shave their beard because of this? Because they feel the pressure. How many brothers and sisters change their names? Because they feel the pressure. How many sisters took off the hijab? Because they feel the pressure. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through it. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through it. Sa'anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting. Since Waraqah ibn Nawfal told him, you are the next prophet to be. And the prophecy says that there's a prophet that will emerge soon. And we do believe that you are this prophet and messenger. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't get any other messages from the wahi, from the revelation. Didn't get any other messages from Jibreel. When Jibreel came down to him, he left him with, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقرم. Read in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the one that created the human being. He created him from a clot. He created the human being and he taught him what he does not know. He taught him with a pen and he taught him what he does not know. So that's the only thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received from the wahi, from the revelation. Any other information, any other directions in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't get. Then he spoke to Waraqah and Waraqah told him, you are the next prophet that's been anticipated. Okay, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's got more clarity. He's got more clarity on what's going on. But obviously he can't just go out and say, I'm the prophet of Allah until Allah tells him. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in a mission. So for 6 months in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stressed. 6 months. Stressed over what? 6 months waiting for the next revelation, for the next instruction. You know when someone tells you, I want you to go from here to the city to do something. Okay, no problems. I'll go from here to the city. So what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll let you know what to do in the next instruction. So you go to the city and you're just waiting for the next instructions because you've been instructed to go to the city to do something. But the next instruction didn't come through. So what happens while you're in the city? You'll be there and waiting and waiting and waiting. That wait is a stressful wait. You just want to know what's next. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the gist, got the instruction, got the understanding. There is the next prophet and messenger that everyone's anticipating. Okay, perfect. Alhamdulillah, I'm up for it. What's next? Day by day, week by week, month by month, will go past. And yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not even get an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we call revelation. While the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking in Mecca, he hears a voice. Under all this immense pressure that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encountering and waiting for the next instruction, for the next revelation, while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking on the outskirts of Mecca, he hears a voice. Ya Muhammad, ana Jibreel, wa anta Muhammadun Rasulullah. O Muhammad, I am Jibreel, and ya Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks up in the horizon. He looks up in the skies, and he sees Jibreel sitting in between the heaven and the earth. Another pressure, another stress on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looks up, it's Jibreel, between the heavens and the earth. Ya Muhammad, ana Jibreel, wa anta Muhammadun Rasulullah. Oh Muhammad, I am Jibreel, and ya Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. Now obviously it's not a scene the Prophet Muhammad is going to look up and say, wow, nice. You know, these days people take out their phones. The world is collapsing. There's an explosion of people taking, looking. Someone's drowning, people take their phones out. Someone is under rubbles and people are taking their phones out. Now this is a scene that you can't handle. It's not even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all his bravery. He's a human being at the end of the day. He saw that scene, he was petrified. He saw that scene, he got scared. So he ran to his wife, knocking on the door. She opens the door, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shivering. Come in, my husband. She takes him in, she covers him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shivering. And then she covers him again. And the Prophet is saying, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me. From the fear. You know, when someone becomes petrified and scared, they become cold. They get cold feet. Their body becomes cold. They shiver. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is there comforting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Covering the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. While the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is under that blanket shivered. Shivering alayhi salatu wa sallam. Shaking from the fear of what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just saw. A creature just stuck in between the heavens and the earth. And this is reality. It's not something, yes, we're talking about it, you're just thinking about it. But when you see it with your own eyes, with your naked eyes, I'm sure not only that you're going to shake, Allah knows what you're going to do. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was shaken. He was petrified sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is there comforting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Covering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Warming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Relaxing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. Cover me, cover me. While the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in that state, Jibreel comes down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his own home. Ya ayyuhal muzammil. Or, Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Qum fa'andhir. وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر. Oh, the one that's covered with the blanket, get up and warn. Start inviting people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purify your clothes. And refrain away, abstain away from worshipping idols. Not that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ever worshipped idols, but it's a call for his people. That was the message and the second instruction, which is more clearer instruction than the first instruction. Now you're a prophet and a messenger. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. Or the one that's covered with the blankets, get up and warn. Start warning your people. Start bringing your people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you've got a mission. Now you've got a clear direction. That's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the responsibility of a messenger. Of a messenger. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listening. And now the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam had consolidated himself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had strengthened himself. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to those words from Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Oh, the one that's covered with the blankets, get up and warn. Glorify your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Save your people from the hellfire. Be presentable with your clean and pure clothes. And tell your people to keep away from worshipping idols. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa got the message. It's loud and clear. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected himself. He got up. And what did he say to his wife Khadija at that time? Ya Khadija, la rahata ba'da al-yam. Oh Khadija, there is no longer rest after this day, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded me on this mission. No longer rest, that's it. Straight away he understood us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No ifs, no buts. Straight away. About 15 words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with clear instructions to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hold back, ask questions, but this, what about that? How do I do this and how do I do that? You know, these days when you talk to someone, you know, go and give da'wah, how about this, that, straight away create 1,000 obstacles that did not even exist from the very beginning. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, all the one that's covered with the blankets, get up and warn. Straight away, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam got up and he started to warn. And what did he say to his wife Khadija? There is no longer rest after this day. That's it, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come down. And the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for me to call to his religion. And the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for me to save myself, my family and my people from the hellfire. So that's my mission and that's what I'm going to achieve. And you know what? Yes, he did not rest until the final rest. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rest from that point all the way to that moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed this world. No rest at all. Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. Bringing and inviting his people to Allah azza wa jal. Now, obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received the second instruction. That's why Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir is the second revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first revelation of Allah azza wa jal upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Iqra. Second revelation was Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir. The duration between the first generation, the first revelation and the second revelation is about 6 months, according to some of the scholars. So you could imagine the first revelation came down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 6 months later, the second revelation comes down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, Aisha says, narrating the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, after this moment, Allah will regularly reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The longest gap that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ever had was that first gap. Between the first revelation and second revelation, 6 months. But then after that, Aisha says, and became ongoing. It became ongoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now you might ask, and you're rightly to ask so, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam through this pressure? Like, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through this long duration of no revelation? Why didn't Allah just reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a day or two? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a week or two? Did he have to go 6 months? And you could imagine the burden on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described himself like one of the worst moments in his life, waiting for 6 months to know what's happening, what's the next step? This is all part of the training process. It's not what you choose. It's not what you want, Muhammad. It's what Allah wants. At the end of the day, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation, Allah's command. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained and developed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the very beginning that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. It's all part of the training process. After that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly communicated with the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. I remember last time I spoke to you about the different forms and ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the prophets and messengers. That in three main ways. Either Allah will speak to them directly, and that really happens with prophets and messengers, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only happened once. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just cast it, or Allah Azza wa Jalla will put it in their hearts and minds, or Allah will send a messenger. And that's what we call Jibreel. And that's the most prominent one. The most prominent way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will communicate with prophets and messengers through a messenger. That messenger is Jibreel alayhi salam. So Jibreel will constantly communicate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on behalf of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Jibreel, go down to Muhammad with this. Take this to Muhammad. Now the Qur'an al-Karim was already revealed to the house of honor, a place that Allah knows better. From the house of honor, Jibreel will take the verses that Allah commands him to take and reveal them to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why, inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, the entire Qur'an was revealed to the house of honor on laylatul qadr. And then from there, the Qur'an al-Karim will gradually be revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, the advocacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through different phases. In Mecca, it went through two main phases. The secret phase and the open phase. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the instruction and command from Allah azza wa jal. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his own. He can't just get out and start telling people, stop worshipping these idols that you've been worshipping for the last few years, and the idols that your parents had worshipped and died on. It's not right. He's not going to go just against the wave, against the tide. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to strengthen himself. He needed to empower himself by getting followers and speak to the trustworthy ones. So the da'wah and the advocacy and the calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the propaganda of Islam, or the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam propagating Islam, And I know the word propaganda has a negative connotation, but we're talking about the positive part of it, propagating Islam and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first 3 years of the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was limited to secret and discreet da'wah. The first 3 years was a secret da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after 3 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to disclose his da'wah and to go out in the public. So after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the second revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which, oh Muhammad, get up and warn, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with his warning. But obviously strategically thinking and strategically putting things into perspective, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to go out in front of people. All people say, La ilaha illallah, and I am the messenger of Allah, and Allah will save from the hellfire. And people are just going to turn around like, you know, please. Like, who are you? Like, at least, you know, what's your track record? What's your background? Give us something. And subhanAllah, yes, it's the haq, it's the truth, but the haq and the truth has got a way in promoting it. If something is right, to promote it's got to be right. I can't tell you, wallahi, this is right, and you have to take it whether you like it or not. It doesn't work that way. There's a way. It shows us the wisdom, the hikmah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dealing with the situation. So the first 3 years of the da'wah, or the first three years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was in secret. Only the close people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that are the sabiqoon, the early comers, or the early Muslims who embraced Islam. Allah even mentions them in the Quran Karim, as-sabiqoon, those who embraced Islam at the very beginning. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with the close people to him. And who's the closest one to him? Khadija. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first to embrace Islam. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first to embrace Islam. So the first human being to embrace Islam was a female, a woman, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And subhanAllah, the wisdom, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Khadija to be the first to embrace Islam, to show us the role and responsibility of a Muslim woman in Islam, because she was part of the da'wah. Part and parcel of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first to embrace Islam. Also, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu from amongst the males. And why do we say males? Because Ali was under the age of puberty at that time. But as a male, he was the first to embrace Islam because he was in the care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the care of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam? Remember the father of Ali, Abu Talib, who took care of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to pay him back. In return, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam took care of two of his kids, Ali and Ja'far. As a payback, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to show a sign of appreciation to his uncle Abu Talib for taking care of him when he was young. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care of the children of Abu Talib, Ali and Ja'far. So Ali and Ja'far grew up in the care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why those two were from amongst the first of those who embraced Islam. But Ali was before anyone else. And also Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha was adopted by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to call him Zayd ibn Muhammad. And up until that time, they used to call him Zayd ibn Muhammad. He was adopted by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And adoption in Islam is not haram, but what you do when you adopt. Okay, what you do when you adopt. So adopting an orphan or someone that doesn't have a family, that's highly commendable, highly praised. But there are certain guidelines that you have to abide by as a Muslim. One of them that you can't call him with your name. So Zayd ibn Muhammad, his original name is Zayd ibn Haritha, but then later on, he changed it into, he was named Zayd ibn Muhammad, then he changed it to Zayd ibn Haritha. So Zayd ibn Haritha was in the care of the Prophet Muhammad. He was adopted by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was also from amongst those that also embraced Islam. These are the close circle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam in his household. Outside the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the closest friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was a very close mate and friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the prophecy. They were close in age, close in character, close in mindset, They were like-minded friends. They got along very well. And Abu Bakr was a very like character, like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the first man to embrace Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And subhanAllah, there's an amazing story about that. Abu Bakr and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are friends before the prophecy. They were close friends. They used to hang out and sit and socialize and get together, and they had a lot of trust and respect to one another. Look what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. Listen to this. Later on, years went past, and a lot of Muslims, you know, a lot of people embraced Islam, and a lot of people came into Islam, and thousands, if not tens of thousands of people became Islam. He came into Islam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, every single person that I had preached to and invited to Islam had a doubt in me except Abu Bakr. When I invited him to Islam, he had no doubt except to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. Look what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says about Abu Bakr. Every person I had spoken to, had a doubt. Even if it's a 0.01%. Is it possible that this man is saying the truth or not? Every person the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken to, he says, had a doubt in me. It could be a very small doubt, but had a doubt in me, except Abu Bakr. Oh Abu Bakr, Allah had revealed to me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells me that I'm the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, and therefore, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. Abu Bakr straight away, without any questions, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and you are the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. Amazing. When you really think about it, you know, I like our mindset, including myself. You know, I know most of you are thinking like me. If the Prophet ﷺ at that time would have told me, I'm the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, straight away I would have jumped into it. No, that's not true. Then deceive yourself. Now you say it because you believe in the Prophet ﷺ, you know who he is. But that time, when everyone's against him and no one believes who he is, don't tell me you're going to do what Abu Bakr did. Because the other people didn't do what Abu Bakr did. It's challenging. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us that we are born as Muslims. Most of us are born as Muslims or even reverted to Islam. But alhamdulillah, that's a blessing. And from your very beginning of your life, you're a Muslim. So those doubts did not exist. But can you imagine during that time and the environment of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yes, people had doubt. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even said to everyone. He's looking at all the Sahaba and saying, every single one of you had a doubt on me. It could be 0%, 0.01%. It could be that, just that little doubt. Like, I believe in you 99.9%, but I've got that doubt. But at the end, Abu Bakr had no doubt. And that's why Abu Bakr was the first to embrace Islam. And from Abu Bakr, straight away, subhanAllah, I want you to listen to this carefully. Abu Bakr embraced Islam straight away. He went and came back with six people embraced Islam. Ajib. Allahu Akbar. You know, that's not the amazing part. The amazing part is not just about Abu Bakr going and bringing six people embracing Islam. I want to ask you, what knowledge of Islam did Abu Bakr have at that time? I guarantee you one thing. What you know right now is by far a lot more than what he knew of Islam. What did he know? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. Na fatiha, na qul huwa Allahu ahad. Nothing. That's all he knows. La ilaha illallah. No deity except Allah. And there's no prophet and messenger. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. There's no God except Allah. And Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger. That's all he knows. But subhanAllah, with his little, limited knowledge of Islam, he did not hold back from calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he told people, Akhi, I want you to work for the da'wah, I want you to be part of da'wah. I don't know much. Who told you need to know a lot? Do you know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Yes. Call people to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. No one's trying to go and teach people fiqh and tafsir and hadith. No one asked you to do that. You know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Do what Abu Bakr did. He knew La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He invited people to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. No one asked you to go and debate, and no one asked you to do this, and no one asked you to do that. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced Islam. And he was the first man to embrace Islam and the closest friend to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Abu Bakr, he went and brought Uthman bin Affan. And he brought Zubair ibn Awam. And he brought into Islam Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And he brought into Islam Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the sixth man to embrace Islam. You know what he said? He said, I remember and recall that I was the sixth of Islam. There's only six of us who are Muslims. I was the sixth of Islam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and more people later on also embraced Islam. Amongst them, Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam. They will talk about his house, how his house became the headquarters of Islam. Uthman bin Maz'un, عبيدة ابن الجراح ابن الحارث sorry عبيدة ابن الحارث سعيد ابن زيد and his wife Fatima the sister of عمر ابن الخطاب and she was the reason that عمر الخطاب became Muslim خباب ابن أرط جعفر ابن أبي طالب خالد ابن سعيد عمر ابن سعيد حاطب ابن حارث and more and more and more and more until they became 40 until they became 40 40 people embrace Islam within months the news start to spread out and more people start to hear of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the da'wah is spreading quietly and discreetly not wallahi let's come together yalla la ilaha illallah muhammad rasulullah and believe in Allah and if you don't believe in Allah jahannam bi's al-masir you're a kafir infidel a'udhu billah you idol worship everything discreetly you know him you trust him speak to him You know him, you don't trust him, don't talk to him. Speak to the people that you trust. These are the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the directions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know him, speak to him. You trust him, speak to him. You don't trust him, keep away from him. Within 3 years, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is building his base. And only the close ones that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba trust are the ones that were reaching out to and they're the ones that were talking to. But obviously, that leaked out slowly to the people of Quraysh when people started to hear what's going on. Are we hearing few people are getting together, this and that. When they hit 40, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to establish his first headquarters where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum can come together discreetly and quietly and learn about Islam and the new revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first headquarters of Islam was دار الأرقم ابن الأرقم أرقم is one of the companions that embraced Islam at the very beginning he had his house and he sacrificed his house to be the headquarters of the Muslims where the Muslims would come together quietly and discreetly and the Prophet Muhammad SAW would teach them of Islam and their numbers start to grow until they hit 130 men and women Vast majority, not all, vast majority were the poor and the needy. It appeals to them. Islam is coming to free them. Islam is coming to empower them. Islam is coming to give them respect, to honor them. Islam is coming against discrimination. Islam is coming against disrespect. So it appeals to the poor and the needy. And that's one of the things that, subhanAllah, you realize Allah mentions in the Quran al-Kareem about prophets and messengers. In general, the poor and the needy are the ones who always appeal to the call of the prophets and messengers. Because it speaks their language, it speaks their mindset. I'm oppressed, I need someone to help me. I'll help you. I'm poor, I need someone to empower me. I'll empower you. I need this. So Islam comes and responds to the call of the poor and the needy. 130 men and women who had embraced Islam. And the word starts to spread around that Muhammad is calling for a new religion and Muhammad is abandoning the belief of our forefathers. Muhammad is talking ill of our idols. Muhammad is growing his own base. Muhammad is revolting against us. Muhammad this and that. Slowly the word starts to spread around. But then in Nabi Sassam had already established himself with 130 men and women who are following him. So it's not like I have no one around me. I've got 130 men around me. I have 130 men and women. So it wasn't only men, it was men and women. Vast majority of them were the poor and the needy. Until that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out in the public and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get up in the public and openly start warning people and bring them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jalla tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first people you start off with, your family, which makes sense. You want people, you want to clean other people's backyard and your own backyard is dirty? It doesn't make sense. Go and clean your own backyard first. Go and sort yourself first. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to openly call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his religion in the open, in the public. Start coming to the deen of Allah azza wa jalla openly, no more discreetly. Now, wherever this quiet, secret, discreet da'wah and calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now it's all about bringing people openly. You've been 3 years, you've established yourself, you strengthened yourself, you consolidated your da'wah, you empowered yourself with your people. Now you're in a position for you to go out in the open. There's something that amazes me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, the Lord of the universe, is instructing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call to his religion quietly. You know that mindset that some people say, it's the truth, say it, who cares? No, it doesn't work that way. There's a way. Allah didn't even allow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to openly call to his deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of mankind. This is to teach us. Calling to Allah needs wisdom. Calling to Allah needs forbearance. Calling to Allah needs patience. Calling to Allah needs strategy. You can't just call and that's it. Who cares? No, it doesn't work that way. There's got to be a strategy. What's your strategy when it comes to calling to Allah? Quietly, discreetly, openly. These are sort of things that we learn. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed to do that. So inshallah, next week, we'll talk about the second phase of the da'wah. Fasda bima tu'mar. Oh Muhammad, get up and warn openly and call your people to Islam, which is a very interesting phase. And that's where the pressure will escalate on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. May Allah reward you, except from you. And inshallah, for another episode next week, tune in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I wanna be in Jannah, every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.